Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shellcast Radio. I'm your host and secret keeper, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill. Also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch to the fascination of fourth year, the fascination of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, my wonderful co-host, and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hello und einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch super gemütlich heute. Welcome to episode 104, in which we discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week, we'll talk about chapter 22, The Unexpected Task. We'll give you a quick life update with our homemade cottage ketchup, feed our brains with important trivia knowledge, and then dive head on into our chapter summary audio experience. And talking about the unexpected task, I think we cut that out last time, but you said at the end, when I announced this is going to be the chapter next time, you said, don't we all have an unexpected task?
We do.
Did you have an unexpected task this week?
Tons.
Probably tons, yeah.
Tons of them. I had tons of unexpected tasks. That was a great transition, by the way. You just came up with that on the spot.
On the spot.
Holy smokes. Yeah, no, so had, yeah, look at that. What a pro. tons of them. Testing, I had to go over to my sister's, you know, she had a dumpster. We had to throw out a bunch of junk and.
Which is always good, getting rid of old things that you didn't know you had and didn't know you still needed. Probably right. Don't need.
Just nice when you can plan it out during a time that works
That's
for
true.
You. But it was probably the busiest week I've had in a long time where I'm just sort of exhausted.
It was really busy.
I think every night I came home and the first two nights, Monday and, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, all of those nights, we either picked up a package, we drove, we were out somewhere, we were doing something till like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And then I was like, okay, cool. You come home, you hit your bed, and you're like, all right, that's it.
Right.
That's all I really have time for. So,
and plus
crazy.
Sometimes... the urge overcomes us to just go for a drive and look at cottages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the next shell cottage, okay? We are looking right now. And it's a lot of fun, but it's a big decision to make. So we're excited. We're in no rush or anything. It's just right now the time for us to look for something bigger. For a nice studio room and bigger kitchen. It's just upgrade a little bit. Yeah.
Just a little bit of an upgrade. So we're looking around, see what we can find. And yeah, it is actually kind of nice because Lottie doesn't know the area very well. So it's nice to drive around and see the different neighborhoods.
It is. And it's beautiful. I mean, every time we go for a drive right now, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful autumn, autumnal drive.
Yep.
And we have lots of sunshine, lots of... you know, trees changing. We always talk about it probably the last five episodes. We're like, oh, the trees are changing. It's so nice.
It's so beautiful. The trees are dying. It's so great. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, it is actually really, really, really beautiful, though. And it's a great time of year. Behind you, I can even see you've got the fall trees there over in over in Hogwarts. So it's great.
It's beautiful. It's actually my new background for my desktop.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. But so basically that's been it. We've been busy. We're looking for a new cottage, and we're just gonna be. I think we're just gonna be getting busier and busier and busier.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it's gonna be a little bit crazy around here. So it's exciting. It's great.
Yeah.
It's good busy.
Good kind of busy.
But you know, I'm in like the thick of the school year right now, so it's crazy. Let me tell you. Also, I think last week was the end of first quarter, or right before that. We still have like. I had the student of mine who was sort of like, you said last week was the end of first quarter. I'm like, yeah, it was. And like, well, I didn't get, you know, two to three different things done. And it was sort of like, why are you still having me, you know, it's the quarter's over. I'm like, well, grades are due by Wednesday. So we're still, we got a 3-day grace period here. Let's get those bad boys turned in.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why were you rushing me last week? It's like, well, I mean.
Technically, you should have turned it in this last week.
It was just kind of funny because she was sort of like, well, if I have extra time, you know, like why would it matter, you know, and stuff. It was just kind of funny.
And it's great. So. It's so fun to some it depends, but most of the time it's very fun to have that teacher's perspective now. And the opening to this chapter is very relatable as a teacher now. As a student back then and now as a teacher, it's great.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's nice. It has both perspectives. So
yeah.
But yeah, by the way, quick episode today, quick chapter, quick cottage catch up. So, you know, why? Because Bengals are playing. We have upgrades to do later. We have an appointment at the cell phone store, and we've got all sorts of different things we have to do today too. So the busyness continues. But with that, I think we're going to move right out of our cottage catch up. Anything else?
Not really. I'm just excited to talk about this chapter as it's full of teenage hormones and stuff.
True that. Okay.
Before that,
yes.
Let's test each other.
So I got a question for you. What is the full name of Ron and Hermione's daughter?
I know they have a son and a daughter, right? So we have Rose and Hugo. I think Rose is her name.
Okay.
Now I have to know the middle name.
I better triple check that I have it right.
Uh-oh. Do they have two daughters? I think they have two kids. I feel like it was Rose and Hugo.
Right.
Rose. Molly.
Oh. Tricky.
No. Molly Weasley. Probably not.
Rose Weasley.
Rose Ginevra.
You're not going to get it.
Is it a totally different name? Give me that hint, please. The middle name is probably totally different. Or am I already wrong about the first name?
No, you're right about the first name. Okay. It's Rose. Yeah.
And then the middle name is totally unrelated to... Because all of the names that Harry and Ginny give their kids are like...
Yeah, I think if you think about Hermione and her personality and her, you know, she's...
Bossy.
she's just a strong...
Okay.
Strong female, you know.
Rose, related to a strong character in this series? No.
No. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you points because it's Rose Weasley, right? You would get that for sure. It's Rose Granger Weasley.
I actually thought about that, but I thought, no. So her middle name is actually Granger, or did they have double names?
No, it's just her full name.
Okay.
Whether that is hyphenated or not, I'm not sure. But it's,
So you get half a point?
Yeah, you get half a point.
Cool. Then
half a point.
Takes me up to 24. Okay, I have an easy question for you. I know you paid attention, so I know you can probably answer the question. Who was the first person to ask Harry to go to the dance with him?
Oh, it was the sweet little curly-haired Hufflepuff girl.
Yeah, do you remember which year she was in?
Third year, I think.
Good, yeah. A curly-haired third-year Hufflepuff.
She could have been super nice.
I know, that's what I wrote in my notes, actually. What if she was a very, very nice person and she genuinely liked Harry?
Yep, for sure.
Could have been, you know, I mean, we love Harry ending up with Ginny.
Yeah.
For sure, but she could have been a different story for him.
Yeah.
Love story, at least.
Yeah, who is this person? Who is this?
Okay, so you get a full point. So now you're getting closer, 24 to 23.5. Let's do the quick round of our normally easy Trivial Pursuit questions that we have prepared. And do me the favor and roll the dice for me so we can determine which color you need.
Blue. Blau.
Oh, I like that. Let's see. What exam is Harry taking when the Weasleys let off fireworks in the exam room?
Oh, my. Normally easy. Get out of here. What is up with this Trivial Pursuit? What is up with this one?
Again, I don't know if this is...
It's so ridiculous.
That's an interesting... I'm so sorry.
It's...
But I'm not... This is chance. I'm sorry. I'm not making these up. So.
Wow.
What exam is Harry taking when the Weasleys let off fireworks in the exam room?
It means a specific exam, right? So like not OWL or...
No, it's looking for a subject.
Okay. So...
Let me double check with the internet if this is actually correct.
Oh, well, I think it's... Yeah. I think it's History of Magic.
Good guess. But no.
Potions.
No.
Defense Against the Dark Arts. Transfiguration.
So on here it says Theory of Charms.
Dang.
Like, where did they get that information from?
I think that's
to
right.
To be honest.
I think that's right, though.
Okay. Actually. You trust the trivia?
Yeah.
Okay. Filibuster? Because I could not have answered that question either. I know that, I mean, we only know from the movie, and I thought the logical thought process, if you think this is movie trivia, would be, okay, Umbridge is in the room, so you think it's Defense Against the Dark Arts, because they don't right. say it in the movie. How are we supposed to know that's Charms? But yeah, okay. Sorry. Now it's my turn. Give me a hard question. Purple.
Who do Harry and Hermione discover hidden in Bathilda Bagshot's skin in her home at Godric's Hollow?
Nagini.
Great job.
Nagini the snake used to be human.
Yeah.
Which we didn't know when we read that. Okay. So I'm sorry. It's 25-23.5. So I'm still 1.5 points ahead of you. But getting closer and closer. Ever closer. Like a vulture. Good questions, though. Now, any other questions so far?
No.
Kids never ask questions when you ask them that question. Are there any questions? No?
No questions.
Okay, cool. Let's start. And then there's 100 questions when they actually start working.
Wait, like, how do you do this? So, like...
like, what do I have to do?
Did you, like...
Instructions are on the board. I just explained it to you. It's on your sheet, too.
I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time.
What I do?
Which is, that terrible. That teacher, I'm just, like, not learning anything from that teacher.
Yeah.
I'm just not learning.
They don't explain it very well.
Your words are prophetic. Okay?
Right.
So... you True. Are learning something, you need to start focusing.
Right. You could probably learn something if you actually tried.
Yeah. So.
It was a great quote that I saw in some teacher's room the other day. It was, it is okay not to know. It is not okay not to try.
There you go.
That was really good, I thought.
Yeah. It's really good.
It's math. Okay. Let's read the chapter summary. Chapter 22. The Unexpected Task. It's December at Hogwarts, Christmas is drawing closer, and Harry and Ron are sitting through their last couple of minutes in Transfiguration class. Since they have already finished their assignment, the two thought it would be a great idea to have a sword fight with some of Fred and George's fake wands in the back row. But they are reprimanded by Professor McGonagall, who's trying to get everyone's attention to announce some big news. The Yule Ball, a traditional part of the Triwizard Tournament, is going to be held on Christmas Day. She reminds them that, while it is all about having a good time and letting loose a little bit, she expects all Gryffindor students to be on their best behavior during that time. There's another surprise just for Harry. McGonagall pulls him aside after class and informs him that as a champion, he'll be expected to open the ball with a dance partner. This revelation horrifies Harry, who would much rather face another dragon than ask a girl to the dance. As the Yule Ball approaches, it seems like the entire school is talking about it, especially the ladies, who are standing and moving in groups, giggling and comparing notes on dresses. Harry is struggling to build up the courage to ask Cho Chang to go with him, as she's always surrounded by a large group of friends. He's so nervous he wonders how he will ever manage to get a girl alone long enough to ask. Ron, too, is struggling with this unexpected task, and in his frustration about the girls all moving in packs, he jokes about just lassoing one of them. To Harry's surprise, a few girls even ask him to the ball right within the next 2 days, but he awkwardly turns them down without thinking. Hermione's earlier comment about people only liking Victor Crumb because he's famous keeps ringing in his head. It makes him wonder if these girls only want to go with him because he's a champion. In their last Care of Magical Creatures lesson of the term, Hagrid tells Ron, Harry, and Hermione about his interview with Rita Skeeter. She was only interested in getting more information about Harry out of Hagrid, hoping to find some kind of scandal she could publish in her next article. The trio laughs at the idea of Rita Skeeter trying to paint Harry as a rebellious troublemaker, and jokes about how Snape would gladly help her with that narrative. The next evening, the trio hangs out in the Gryffindor common room together. Harry and Ron are already in a holiday mood. While Hermione is revising her potions notes for the upcoming test, the boys are neither ready to do any schoolwork nor to figure out the clue for the next task in the Golden Egg. However, they are getting worried about the seemingly impossible task of asking someone out for the dance. Fred Weasley, on the other hand, has no trouble asking a girl to the ball and shows them how it's done. In front of the entire common room, he casually shouts to Angelina Johnson, asking if she'll go with him. Without hesitation, Angelina agrees, leaving Harry and Ron impressed by Fred's confidence.
Ron decides they need to hurry and find dates before all the good ones are taken. During those last few days of the term, the Yule Ball rumors are flying. Hogwarts is decked out in stunning Christmas decorations, with icicles hanging from the staircases, trees covered in glowing ornaments, and suits of armor singing carols. Though Peeves the Poltergeist keeps hiding inside the armor, adding rude lyrics. On Friday morning, Harry and Ron promise each other, when they meet back in the common room tonight, they will both have a date for the ball. Once classes are over that day, Harry finally works up the nerve to ask Cho Chang. She sadly tells him that she's already going with Cedric Diggory. Harry's heart sinks. He forgets all about dinner and heads back to the common room, feeling crushed. As he enters, he finds Ron sitting there, pale and horrified. Ron confesses that in a moment of madness, he asked Fleur Delacour to the ball, and that she had looked at him like he was a sea slug before he ran off in embarrassment. Ron also tells Harry that Neville Longbottom asked Hermione, but she turned him down because she's already going with someone else. The two can't quite believe that and think she just wanted to have an excuse to turn Neville down. That moment, Hermione enters the common room. And when Ron tries to convince her to go with him or Harry instead, Hermione refuses and repeats again that she's already going with someone. This revelation shocks both Harry and Ron, with Ron particularly baffled. Hermione is fed up with Ron's superficial attitude and storms off to the girls' dormitory. Ginny, who's been there the whole time, assures Ron that Hermione is not lying. And when Ron says Ginny could just go with Harry, she too confesses she already has a partner. Neville asked her right after Hermione turned him down, and she agreed, seeing it as a chance to attend the ball at all as a third-year student. In the end, Harry feels so desperate to find a date that he simply asks the next girl he spots in the common room to go with him. It's Parvati Patil, who's just entered the portrait hole with Lavender. She agrees to go with him, but when Harry asks if Lavender would go with Ron, they inform him that Lavender is already going with Seamus. Parvati suggests her twin sister Padma, who's in Ravenclaw, as a potential date for Ron. Harry agrees, hoping that Ron will be okay with this arrangement.
Dang. I mean, at least he's trying to hook his guy up, right?
Right? I mean, good wingman, Harry.
Yeah, it's like, look, I got myself a date. You know anybody. But what about Lavender Brown? A little foreshadowing there.
True.
What about Lavender Brown?
Lavender's
maybe not.
Taken for this one. But as much as I hyped Ron up that he's back, you know, Harry's best friend is back.
Yeah.
The last couple of chapters, I can't stand him this chapter.
Terrible.
Wow.
Terrible, Ron. He's just a dog. Terrible.
He just needs to learn a little bit about women and life and,
you know, this is crazy.
His own priorities.
I am realizing how old I am getting because these kids come in and just like, I don't know, the way they are so immature. They're Rons. I have so many boys that are just Rons. And I'm telling you the truth. And it's sort of like, okay, you hear them say stuff that you're just sort of like, guys, come on. And the girls are all like, guys, you're back in like medieval times. What are you doing? You can't say that, right? And it's crazy. It is crazy all the time. Just I'm sitting there kind of like classroom management, trying to figure it out, but they're very just immature. I have a lot of really mature boys too. I'd say the majority of them are Rons.
I was going to ask you, do you ever experience, just like in this chapter, this excitement around a dance and then people trying to find a partner and ask each other out for a prom or...
Yeah. There's more. Dances. It's pretty well everyone's kind of established. And what kids do, it's not necessary to find a partner.
No, right. You can go with friends.
They go in, they just go in a group. And so it's not that big of a deal. But I feel like the kids who, they typically already have their partner or their boyfriend or their girlfriend or whatever, and they're going to go. And then you've got like who's in whose party is where the drama is. How big is your party? Okay. We're going to Olive Garden, but, you know, you can only reserve a table for 12.
Right.
We got 14.
Right.
Two people got to go. Two people got to get cut.
And then these Rons are like, crazy. Sorry, Eloise Midgen can't come.
Yep. Sorry.
That sucks.
It's bad. So a lot of kids also now are just throwing their own slumber parties and doing their own things.
Yeah.
And they're I'm not going. We're going to go out to eat with when we're not even going to the dance.
Take the pressure off of all of that. You don't have to go. It's a fun time, but also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a there's a cool buzz though. The football game's going on. There's typically something happening. I'm thinking of homecoming or whatever, which is a lot of fun. And then The one at the end of the year, prom, is more for your seniors and your juniors, and they're really just kind of, it's a last goodbye for the seniors, and so they're just having a good time.
Yeah.
And one chance to dress up and...
It's less of a formal dance like we have in this chapter, or in the next chapter, yeah.
Right.
The Yule Ball.
Yeah. I mean, they do have the weird sister showing up, right?
So, yeah. Which is cool. I love how they did that in the movies, by the way. The switch, and then get out of here, Professor Flitwick.
Right. So I'm going to back up here. I want to start at the beginning of the chapter. That's cool.
Yeah, I was surprised for you. A surprise picture.
I was surprised for you guys. I'm going to show it to the camera here. I'm not sure if they can. You see on there? Can they see it? Is it focused? Can you see there?
Yeah.
Neither one of us have the.
Yeah, if you go a little closer. Okay. A little closer. Yeah.
Okay.
You can kind of see.
So here's the video version of that. That is, what is that? Is a guinea fowl? A guinea fowl.
That makes it reminds me of the. Now I get the joke on the shirt. You did a commercial the other day for Up Talking Talking.
Oh, foul language.
And it's about foul language. It's all about birds. Now I get it.
Yeah,
I didn't know that foul was a bird.
Yeah. F O W L.
Yeah, and now
it's foul. They're not owls. They're fowls. Right.
It's foul. I was gonna say to you, try and turn this into a guinea pig.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
Doable. Professor McGonagall, like, we're doing cross-species transfiguration, which is a little more advanced. But she just thought it was, like, a good joke, too, because they both have the guinea word in there.
Hey, you got it. I mean, yeah, it's complex magic.
Where does she get these birds from? Does she get deliveries, like, for her transfiguration class? Just like
Well,
Snape
if you played Hogwarts
from?
Legacy.
Oh.
Then you would know that there are plenty of guinea fowl out around. Yes, you
would
know this. I mean, I'm kind of kidding you. I don't know if they're actually guinea fowl. But there are tons of things. You can go out into the wilderness there, and you can collect what you want to collect. And
You would think, she just takes some birds from the outside, and you turn that into a guinea pig. Why does that have to be the guinea fowl, you know?
Yeah, she's just being clever.
Yeah, it's funny.
Maybe they're related
in
some way.
Pun.
I don't know. But anyways, the homework assignments, so we've got what do we got going on here? So how do you adapt the transfiguration spell when transforming two different species? I kind of wonder if you have to know certain differences in anatomy to focus on them.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So you have to have like a prerequisite that's anatomy class?
I feel like there has to be something more complicated to the spell, definitely, because they have to write a whole essay about how do you have to adapt your spell, your spell work. For cross species to transform from one species to another.
Dang.
And I kind of feel like, what would it be, you know, like, because you have to change the whole anatomy from a bird to a mammal.
It just seems like they wave their wand and they say,
Faravato,
or whatever they say, you know? And you're like, oh, cool, that works, you know? Like, you have to think about it in your mind.
Yeah, it's more complicated than that. I actually like that it's not that easy. That's why they study it. That's why they have 7 years of schooling.
Right.
To learn magic.
And it's one of the main things when you read about like witches and wizards lore, it's like, we're going to turn you into a frog.
Right.
Right. The prince gets turned into a frog. He needs kissed by a princess. And so there you go. Some evil witch out there did it. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the lore, whether that be Disney lore, I'm not sure. But anyway, witches do it. And so transfiguration is a thing.
Yeah.
Got to study it at Hogwarts.
Yeah. That's and imagine, I mean, they're just doing... I mean, from animal to another animal, Professor McGonagall the other day did, I mean, they did that too, I guess. But she did a pig into a desk.
Yeah.
So that's even, like, it's almost alchemy. You're changing the matter of the thing, right?
Yeah. Do you think, so I'm just thinking through all the Disney,
the
Disney witches and stuff, like the fairy godmothers and stuff like that. I wonder if they went to Hogwarts.
Oh, they had to
like
study it. Yeah,
Maleficent
of
and all those other different, you know, they said.
Look, most of the time they're a little older, so I think they need to have studied
something
for a long time to get this good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We get a cool little rebuke here from McGonagall, who basically just says it's time, you know, now that Potter and Weasley are acting their age.
Thank you.
Wow.
they're fighting with the swords, as we heard. The swords,
but I mean,
well, with the wands.
Yeah,
the
but again,
Weasley wands.
Thank you, McGonagall, because that's what we all want to say, right?
Yeah.
Act your age.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Teachers,
what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I just, man, it's...
Yeah.
Soon as kids are out in the hallway, it's just chaos.
I know.
It's absolute chaos. They behave, then they go out there, and they get around each other, and there's no teacher, and it's just sort of like they turn into different...
They do. Because now that I'm substitute teaching more, like once in a while, and most of the time you're just in the classroom for the teacher that you're subbing for.
Right.
But sometimes they need you in a different class for one period, and then you have to go through that chaos of class change in the hallway.
It's wild.
And I can't even get to my room in time. It's crazy. If it's on the other end of the school.
And they're just taking their time, by the way.
Oh, they are.
It's like they're walking as slow possibly can. They've got it timed
out. I don't know how
out.
They don't fall asleep while they're walking.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And like you see teachers, you can always tell who the teachers are, one, because we're the teachers, we're older, we're dressed a little different. But we're speed walking.
Right.
We're trying to get there where we need to go.
Trying
to duck around, blah, blah. Excuse me. Come on. Hey, look, come on, guys.
Right.
Step aside. Let's go. Move over.
And then the person in front of you just sees 50 different friends on the way to their class.
Yeah.
And they stop every time to chat with them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So at the end of this lesson, though, Professor McGonagall does announce a big sort of a big party going down here for the Yule Ball is announced. Now, what's interesting is that this is tied to the Triwizard Championship.
Right, they never have it.
They don't have it. Mm-hmm. It's not something they typically have. They don't have a homecoming. They don't have a prom.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is kind of sad. I feel like maybe we need a new headmaster or headmistress in there to say, you know what, I think it's time.
Yeah.
Instead of building this international wizarding, kind of community, I feel like we need to maybe build some inter-house community, right? Ask someone
that
from
a
distant...
Great idea.
Yeah, from a distant house to go to a ball with you.
You would... Install the rule you can't go with anyone from your house.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be really interesting.
Right. We're gonna mix it up.
Yeah.
Take a friend. We're gonna have it. You just have to dance it. Get to know somebody. Whatever. I don't know. People are like that's bad. As
well,
can't force some people to go. Like
as
I just
we can
mean,
already see, it adds a lot of stress to these young men.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And a lot of joy and giggles.
And the girls have no problem coming up and just asking, "Hey, you want to go?"
Right, it seems like it.
Right, I mean, for the most part. So, and boys are just like, oh, no, I don't want to look dumb. What if that girl says no or something, Like, oh, no. Crazy. Crazy.
And it's cool that they do portray, girls ask boys, too. Like, it's not just only boys can ask.
Right, and I think they kind of go with the angle that it's like, well, Harry is the Triwizard champion, so that's why he's getting asked a lot. But
yeah,
I feel
like
he would have anyway.
Yeah,
I feel like he would have, though. He's also the chosen one. He's also pretty cool. He's pretty chill.
Yeah.
Ron's kind of, he's one of those immature boys.
Hmm.
He's very immature.
Yes.
Like, Harry is the guy who's with him, and he's laughing at his immaturity, but he also knows how to behave himself and to, do what he needs to do. I see this all the time. I see a lot of kids who are just sort of like in the group, on the fringe, but they're sort of like, oh, here comes a teacher, and they step out of the group, and they do what they're supposed to do. The other kids just go right on, what? We gonna do, teacher. We gonna do. Listen here, buddy. I'll tell you when we're done walking out of the office, I'm gonna hand you detention. All right, for jostling a freshman in the hallway. Tomorrow's a clean day, right? Clean slate. Come on back. Try it again.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just do it again tomorrow. Yeah, cool. Pop you with another detention. Well, I'll just do it again. Pop you with a Wednesday school. So what? 3 hours. All right, cool. We'll do a Saturday school. Go out and pick up some trash on the, side of the highway.
Yay.
Well, whatever. Well, we'll suspend you. Oh, okay. All right, well, how about we expel you? We're going to keep right on going.
Right.
It ain't hurting nobody's feelings.
No.
Man, you guys, I've had these conversations with kids.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They're all really great kids, though.
They are. Next but year, I think if you're a principal or,
it's every day.
Assistant principal, deputy, like Professor McGonagall. You probably have to deal with a lot of defiant kids.
Yeah, it's a lot. So it's a lot. But anyways, McGonagall just ignores the giggling of the girls, though, right? It's because they are definitely all they're all excited, right? But we're looking around the room. Let's see here. She adds that students younger than fourth year can only go if they have a partner fourth year older. And again, Lavender and the other girls are giggling. So the question there is, did she want to go with a younger student? Or did she think that was...
Yeah, why does she giggle at that when McGonagall announces only fourth years or older, unless you know so you want to take somebody who's third year,
right?
Or younger. And she just busts out laughing. Either it just was the moment where she couldn't hold it anymore, or it was specifically that information. Because then they look around at Harry, which makes me then think, what does it have to do with Harry? Do they expect Harry to ask maybe Ginny?
I think they know Ginny likes... I think everyone knows that Ginny likes Harry.
Yeah, because they're all Gryffindors and...
Yeah, he's oblivious. Mm-hmm. He's oblivious to it. Yeah. So,
which is sad right now.
Yeah.
He could have just... we'll talk about that later, but...
Right. But anyways, McGonagall, as teachers do, we ignore the giggling, right?
Mm-hmm. Harry thinks it's unfair. Like, they just... She just told him and Ron off.
Yeah.
But not the girls.
But this is acceptable.
And
all
I wonder, that's true, it's different. I just wondered if you have noticed that often in your career, do female teachers, like girls, get away with things more, and male teachers, on the other hand, boys? Like, is that a thing? Almost like you understand what they're...
No,
or do
most
girls
of the time,
in general get away with more things?
No.
Okay.
No. Yes. Sorry. The answer is yes. Let me back up there.
Yeah.
Typically, if you're just asking from my own personal experience, it's actually, there's always, you know, exceptions to the rule or whatever, but for the most part, the girls are, like, if they giggle or whisper or do something, we can pretty well get them back on track for the most part. And boys sometimes go, they push the boundaries further, faster, quicker, harder, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, and that sounds like a, you know, I mean, it's...
Sounds like I'm really generalizing. It is, because it's not... individuals can be totally different. There can be really loud and annoying girls that just can't focus. Yeah. And the other way around, boys can sometimes just laugh and then get back to it. But
the other thing, though,
in general,
is...
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Teachers have different tolerances for noise.
True.
And that's the other thing. So McGonagall, I feel like her tolerance is like down here.
Very low.
Hey, I ain't tolerating any of that, okay? And you can kind of see, you really have to, as a new teacher, set the tone. I remember when you first started, you were kind of like, well, I didn't know I could give it attention. I didn't know I could do some of those things. They don't really explain to you what the you know.
Yeah.
We all were taught in a classroom management course in college, and we go over some of these things. But then you need to know what your school code of conduct is. And you have to know that disruptive behavior, that term, subjective to the teacher. But if you're disruptive and your behavior is disruptive to the learning of others, that's a consequence. Yeah. The consequences is attention.
Yes.
It's very easy. It's very straight up, just sort of like, hey, sorry, you get one warning and you explain that whole process. The next time you do it, I worked with a guy, you know, him, Dr. Myers, and he was good at the beginning of the year. Just sort of like, nope, sorry. Hey, next one's a detention, buddy.
And I don't know if that's a middle school thing, but you get lunch detentions first. They're less severe than staying after school.
Right.
And finally, I was like, no, I can't take this anymore. This kid needs to get a detention, give him lunch detention. And then I'm trying to figure out I don't know how to do this. There is a whole slip that you have to fill out.
Right.
And then they let you know, you as a teacher actually have to give up your own lunch and have that, like, supervise that student during your lunch for lunch detention. And I'm like, what is that? Is messed up, because now I'm punishing myself spending more time with that student.
I don't think it's a good policy.
At Hogwarts, they at least get to give them, you know, things.
Detention at midnight.
Like, and go in the forest.
Go to the Forbidden Forest.
To do some work that benefits the school that the students don't want to do, so they don't do it again. You don't have to supervise it necessarily. Some like to do that, right? And some don't. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I think the system is a little messed up with the... You have to then...
So we don't do that at the high school.
Yeah, I know. I've never heard of that. So middle school is kind of difficult.
Ain't no way. And actually, we skip the lunch detention. We go right to after school.
Yep.
So, sorry.
No.
Take it up with your parents. Can't drive. You need to ride the bus. Sorry.
Yep.
Got to call home. Figure it out.
Anyway.
Sorry. Anyway.
Time to let your hair down, baby.
The Yule Ball is, of course, a chance for all of us to let our hair down, she said in a disapproving voice. Lavender giggled harder than ever, with her hand pressed hard against her mouth to stifle the sound. Harry could see.
Yeah, what was funny this time? Yeah, he did. He was able to see this time. Okay. What was so funny? Because
Harry could see what was funny this time. Professor McGonagall, with her hair in a tight bun, looked as though she had never let her hair down in any sense.
I just thought it was funny.
Interesting. My mom used to wear her hair in a tight bun.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, and she had
long hair.
Long hair. Yeah.
Maybe Professor McGonagall has really long hair.
I bet she does. And I bet
it's
she does.
Just too hot. I mean,
I think we see her one time when she comes up in the.
I think so too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she does.
In her night robes, nightgown.
Right. Yeah. When Harry has the dream. Yeah. So it's cool. But anyway, so yeah, kind of funny to think your teachers are going to be there. You know, one of my colleagues actually went and chaperoned a homecoming, and he got a free hoodie for it.
Yeah.
I saw that, and I was like, now, hold on. I'm a hoodie connoisseur. I love hoodies. So I was like, where'd you get that hoodie? And he told me how, and I was like, That might get me to sign up for chaperoning homecoming. I've only done it once, and it was terrible. So we'll maybe reconsider. I think the kids are better
now. Was that in your first year?
Yeah, it was bad. Kids were much more. I feel like times have changed, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I sound like such an old teacher. But I mean, from the time that I started, there's far less of the, like, bringing in drugs and alcohol and different things like that. Yeah. Kids are really pretty good. And they come in and they just want to have a good time. But man, we did have a rough group of kids there for a while that were trying to bring in things they mm-hmm. shouldn't bring in. And so that was tough to like have to work with the sheriff and their parents and call them and discipline them. And it was kind of a bummer, but they made bad choices.
I mean, do you think Hogwarts students planned something?
Oh, I guarantee
mean,
somebody.
There's rumors flying about what Dumbledore is going to bring to the party.
Yeah, right. I guarantee that also Fred and George have, you know, they're walking around with the flask. Something's going down. There's magic. Especially with magic, you can do way more. I mean, these teachers have really got to be on it, right?
Uh-huh.
So, anyway. But now at the end of the period though, the bell does ring, and I thought about this too. Uh-huh. The bell rings. We never really. I think we maybe hear once or twice like a bell ringing at Hogwarts. I would actually like to know what the bell.
I know you made it.
Like.
Didn't you make a short once?
I think I did, and I think I need to redo it because I think there is a bell sound in the movie. When McGonagall is standing there and directing traffic in Half-Blood Prince. I think right before that, the bell rang.
Oh, yeah, when Harry and Ron are just standing there laughing. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we hear a classic recess bell ring.
Yeah.
But I always wondered what it sounded like. You know, what does the bell sound like there? So, because it sounds very different in every building you go to around Ohio. So
true.
Yeah, but anyways, he does stay behind, and McGonagall wants to tell him something kind of important here, that as the Hogwarts champion, he's going to have to open the Yule Ball with a dance, and he needs a partner. And there's no budging on this.
Yeah.
You will not embarrass Gryffindor House. You are getting a partner. Got it? And, man, he's like, wait, what?
Is twice or thrice, he's like, I'm not dancing. So, yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Yeah, for sure.
But I get it. Because I wouldn't, like, okay, you have to find a partner. Fine. But having to open the dance with only four others and you're like, everyone's looking at you while you're dancing.
Yeah.
There's, and in the book, I don't know, because in the movie we see they have a little crowd.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Crash course with their house teachers. Everyone wondering what Snape's doing with his house, but in the
crazy
book, I don't think they do. I think they just expected to know how to dance.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
like they don't have any rehearsals, nothing. But
right.
we'll
that was
see
a
in
nice,
next chapter.
Nice touch in the movie that they did that. Well, yeah, maybe they do rehearse it later on. I think they do.
Okay.
Yeah, because Ron dances with. And is that just in the movie where Ron dances with
McGonagall?
Yeah. Babbling,
we'll
bumbling bands
out
of baboons. I can't remember.
Oh, me neither.
God, I can't remember. Actually, I remember when I was in like a homecoming. Yeah, if you're mm-hmm. going with somebody who's on the homecoming court, like the yeah. king or queen yeah. or whatever, you actually do escort them in. And then you end up like doing like a quick sort of, I don't know, they're up there. They announce the king or the queen or the winner or whatever. And then you do like a small dance and everyone dances with you too. Okay. Just like they did in the thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's only for 30 seconds or so, but still I would totally be.
It's pressure.
Nervous about this.
It's like, what? Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, Harry has kind of a fun image that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. He suddenly has a mental image of himself in a top hat and tails accompanied by a girl in the sort of frilly dress Aunt Petunia always wore to Uncle Vernon's work parties.
Isn't that like a funny little detail? How yeah. often did they go to work parties? And this is Harry's only image of someone yeah. going to a party or a dance.
I think it reminds you too that he has such a limited experiences and stuff. He's really just limited to his time at Aunt Petunia's, and he, you know, like that's the lens at which he doesn't know. He doesn't have a lot of exposure or experience to know like what do girls wear? What do we right. do? What's the deal? I mean, I've never.
Yeah, he was only 11 when he left Muggle school, so they wouldn't have anything like that.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right. Yeah. Harry does feel like this new task is worse than being in the arena with a Hungarian horntail, which I kind of, you know, wait, worse. This is worse. Yeah,
now that he knows what he would do against the horntail, he feels like I'd rather fight the dragon.
I don't understand why he didn't just use Accio though. Accio Yule Ball date. You know what I mean? Why didn't he do that? I feel like that would.
I mean, the lassoing tip from Ron sounds like it, right?
Right. Yeah. Just.
Yeah.
You know.
They're never alone. What happens if you say Accio Cho?
I don't know. But
he did. Remember, he did Accio a fly.
Yeah, true. Akio Cho Jang. Harry, you should have tried it right away. I don't know. Maybe you could have. I mean, dang. You know? You see her walking down the corridor, and like he's got like a spot like in a broom cupboard or whatever where he wants to just ask her privately. He can't ask in front of people because he's afraid.
Yeah.
And he sees Cho walking by, and he's like, Akio Cho. You know? And she like comes over, and she's like, oh, what was that?
Yeah.
Harry, was that you? Super inappropriate. You should never, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? She just scolds him. Yeah. She just scolds him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, crap. You know, that was Ron's
it's
advice.
It's like an unspoken thing that you never Akio people.
Yeah, heck no. It's in violation of their, no way. Yeah. Don't touch me. Get off me. But who knows? Cho probably been like, whoa, Harry, what's up?
I know. She was not opposed to him asking at all. She just was like, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Already, yeah.
Eric was first.
Right. All right, so moving on, though, part two, last week of term, attempting to find a partner for the dance.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Almost every fourth year and above is staying at Hogwarts over Christmas, which is crazy.
Right.
Very crazy for Harry because he's used to doing that, and he's not used to all of these other individuals being there. Right. So all of his classmates are there.
Hundreds of students, yeah.
Right, they're not going home.
And they're all not spending Christmas with their families. It's like Ron, third year in a row.
Yeah.
Wait, no, what did they do last year?
I mean, they're going to get sent gifts and stuff or whatever, but why would you, you know, if you're a kid and you're there, I mean, yeah, no one's missing this.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone's going to stay. There probably were some kids that did go home, though.
I think
so,
too.
A lot of the first and second and third years.
Yeah, well, they all go home unless they have a partner, right?
Right, yeah.
But then I think, like you said, some who just don't like attending such a party.
Right.
They'd be like, nah.
Do you think Luna went, or do you think she went home?
She had to. I don't think anybody asked her because she's younger.
Yeah.
She's Ginny's year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
No, I don't think anyone asked her.
Yeah. Dang. I'm glad Ginny went, though. Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad that she does go with Neville. It's pretty awesome.
Me too.
He's a great
Even
guy.
I don't know if she does regret it in the moment.
She got to keep an eye. She's got to keep an eye on Harry.
Yeah.
Who's he dancing with? Did he really, like, you know.
She's probably happy that Harry is, you know, not interested at all in Parvati.
That's what I'm saying. So she's sort of like, okay, I got that. It was a last minute thing. Mm-hmm. All right, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
Got my eye on you, Patil twins, right? She's like, I'm watching you guys.
Right. Right, because the other is going with her brother, so she's got an eye on both of them.
Yeah, she's watching them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's a bit wild. But Harry always does. Whoa, Harry always does, but I think he and what
oh,
in the
he's,
world?
Sorry Harry about that. Always spends Christmas at Hogwarts. We knows that. We knows that. Wow. We know that. What's wrong with us?
I don't know.
Harry always spends Christmas at Hogwarts. But I think he's enjoyed, you know, every year Christmas was... when things calmed down at the castle and it was a little quieter and he and his friends were the only ones basically, and they had the castle to themselves. Most of the time, only a few students and teachers are left at the castle, but this time, like we said, everyone's staying.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Wow. And I love this quote, the next point here. It's amazing. This is Harry's perspective. It's amazing how many girls Hogwarts suddenly seems to hold.
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, it's like you want to buy a red car, all of a sudden everything you see is a red car. So you want to buy a house, all of a sudden you see nothing but for sale signs.
You know, I will say, yeah, your focus determines your reality, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember being in eighth grade and we had our first little like spring fling or as maybe it was a winter dance and I was in eighth grade. Never thought about it. Never even thought about it. And I was sort of like, everyone was asking, are you going to go? Are you going to go? Aww. Like, and they were all wondering if I was going to go. And I was like, I don't think so. Are we, you know, like, are we allowed to? Like, I don't know. Would my mom even let me? I mean, I had all these different questions. It's like, I have no clue. Who's going? Like, who's all going, right? And you start looking around, and you're like, well, everybody's going, right? So-and-so's going with so-and-so, so-and-so's going with so-and-so. And I'm like, okay. I remember that.
Did you end up going?
I think I ended up getting dropped off after church. It was on a Saturday. Aww. I got dropped off after church for just the very, for like 20 minutes. My mom was going to wait in the parking lot. And I think I went in just to kind of see, you know, what it was like. And
that's
I just kind of stood around with my friends. I believe I stood on the fringe with a couple friends. I think Alan was one of them. And I think that's when I kind of got to know some of these other guys.
Yeah.
That I became friends with in high school.
Cool.
So, yeah. We were standing on the fringe, though. Let me tell you. It was in the cafeteria. I remember it was in the cafeteria. And there was a stage. And they were playing the music. And kids were out there dancing. And I was like, all right, this is cool. You know, but
did I ever tell you, now that you tell me that? I think I did. One New Year's Eve, and I was probably, 6 years old, seven, maybe seven. And my mom and my aunt were there, so my brother and my cousins, we were all there, kids. And it was a whole party tent. And it was for, like, kids and adults, just to have a good time till midnight, and then all cheer. And they played music all night long, and there was people dancing, and kids dancing, too. And then the kids were dancing in the front of the stage. And then they open up a small part of the stage. And, you know, now I'm like, I don't really like dancing that much, like in front of people, like formal dance. But back then I was just 7 years old. I was dancing the whole night.
No way.
And I was one of the kids who went upstairs on the stage, on the part of the stage, with like a few other kids all night long. My mom, I wouldn't see her all night. And she was just watching me from where they sat. And then it was getting closer to midnight. And then they would have a big giveaway. Mm-hmm. And they needed someone to pull tickets. So all the tickets went into like a basket and they drew tickets for like prizes.
Yeah.
$250. The main prize was some kind of vacation.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
a big prize.
Wow.
And then they were like, in German, you call them the Glücksfee, like a good luck fairy, like a fairy that gives you good luck.
Yeah.
And they will pull the prizes.
Okay.
And they were looking for someone, and they picked me. And my mom, her eyes almost fell out when she saw me on, like, they actually took me on stage.
That's cool.
And I had to draw, like, three different tickets.
Aww.
And they're like, Charlotte, why didn't you draw our ticket?
Right, right.
Joking about that. But she was like, oh my goodness, that's my daughter up mm-hmm. there.
Little star.
Because they just saw me dancing all night on the stage.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays I wouldn't say, yeah, that's me. That's totally, you know, how you can sometimes say kids.
Well, guys. Who've
just always been into singing and dancing.
Right.
Not really me.
I have a new idea for our next chapter.
Yeah.
All right. We will get, we're going to do it all dressed up and, we'll have Lottie will do a little intro on YouTube for you guys. She's going to do a little, intro to dance. She once was a dance teacher and she choreographed a lot of dance routines for, your students. Right. And you oversaw that.
Oh, I actually
remember that. You remember that?
I actually had to teach dance, yeah.
Yeah, she had to teach dance. So
for
she,
one semester.
She knows what's up. She's a little dance star.
Wow.
And she's been holding out on me.
It's terrible.
And she's been holding out on you guys.
The whole semester, I tried to hide the fact that I had no clue what I was doing.
I don't believe that at all. So I've seen her tear it up in the kitchen a few times, dance moves. It's wild.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just get a little behind the scenes for you guys and let you see Lottie's dance moves. And just be looking forward. Maybe I'll throw that over on Patreon for you guys just to kind of go check it out, okay?
We did dance a little bit at our wedding.
We did. Did a good job.
It was fine.
Yeah, we did a good job. Did a sway. Anyway, that's cool. That's a cool story.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
But
so there you go.
That is interesting. I can see up there. You're probably so cute. Well, speaking of cute, though, we do have this little Hufflepuff that runs up. We mentioned already. Was,
I know.
I mean, gosh, just kind of wild to think that who was that? Who could
I know.
Who could that have been? And she seems really nice. And
right. And I said, know. I mean, you know, all Hufflepuffs were kind of against Harry because of Cedric. So maybe she actually genuinely liked Harry.
Right. He did call him off a little bit. He called the Hufflepuffs off a little bit. He said, being in the chapter is sort of like.
But then still, do you want to be seen with the
right with
Gryffindor
the enemy
champion?
Right. Hmm. Right. For the Hufflepuff. So that was pretty bold. That was the first girl who came up and talked to him.
Yeah.
So something. Yeah. Someone suggests the second year girl that asks Harry out on the next day could have been Romilda Vane.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Since she was 2 years below Harry and Ron. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I read that online that someone said that it's nowhere. Is it
confirmed?
Mentioned or proven?
Yeah.
But could have been, because there's two more girls that ask Harry the next day. One was a little older and very tall, and Harry was like, I don't know if I want to dance with her. And the other one, we don't know why he turned her down, but she was, I mean, 2 years younger. So maybe Harry said that she's kind of young still. I mean, imagine a second year and a fourth year. That's exactly the age gap where, I don't know, going from kid to teenager. If you imagine Harry, Ron, and Hermione in their second year versus now. So maybe Harry was like, okay, she's a little too young, but it could have been Romilda Vane because we don't know which house she's in. Romilda is in Gryffindor. So it could have been in Gryffindor. And then, yeah, she's exactly 2 years under them.
Yeah, and she has a crush on him. She wants to go to the Yule Ball. I mean, makes sense why, you know, little kids want to stay. Like, this is cool. This is exciting. I want to go. And so, sure, why not? Why not go for it?
It's not impossible.
Right? But even though this is interesting that Harry has turned down every single girl that's asked him, he is super nervous about the opening dance. He turns him down.
Yeah.
He had tons of options. He's getting more and more and more nervous, but yet he could have said
it's
yes multiple.
It's only because he wants to ask one specific person.
Right. He wants to ask Cho, and Ron wants to find the most beautiful woman at Hogwarts now.
Yeah.
And he thinks like that, you know, that's ridiculous. Later on, we'll get to that, but
yeah.
So that's kind of going on. We get some sort of day in, day out sort of life there at Hogwarts. Hogwarts has become more bearable for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Especially since he's got his friend back and everyone seems to be letting up on him. Cedric sort of, you know, called the dogs off, called the badgers off, right? And so,
yeah.
So we're good.
No one laughs at Malfoy's jokes anymore. So,
right. He's got to get a new joke. That's what I said in the car. He's got to get a new joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting old.
Lame.
They were worried about Hagrid in the article with the Daily Prophet. We start to learn, really, that's just, I think, a quick little note about Rita Skeeter's character, who she is, what she's digging for.
Right.
She's someone we need to watch out for because she's trying to find a bad narrative to run on Harry. So it's her clue.
Right.
That she's
going to portray him in a different light. And again, it wasn't that she preferred either the tragic hero and the positive light or the negative. She just needs a new story that people will read.
Yeah.
So. I'm not defending her. Sorry. Just to
No, for sure. But keep that in mind when it comes to journalism, people.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, some journalists out there. Oh, so we talked. Well, I mean, I don't know. Always looking for the next headline. Anyway, Hagrid tells them that Rita only wanted to get something shocking. Yeah. Out of him. Yeah. So that's kind of, it's unfortunate. I mean, Hagrid, he doesn't seem to know that. It seems like thankfully he had nothing bad to say.
No, and he doesn't really get it. Yeah, he's very naive about it.
Yeah, he's very naive.
Why would she ask that?
And then they go on to bring up Snape and bring up the fact that, like, well, should have asked Snape. She doesn't know the professors very well. She doesn't know who. I think maybe Hagrid's easier to get to because he's outside of the castle and she could be on the grounds and kind of like you know, approach him, but Snape is less approachable, but yeah, also would have given him
in many ways.
Yeah, would have given him more dirt, possibly.
So. Yeah, but you're suggesting that she was listening to them in that moment.
Maybe we know that she's a little beetle. You know, she's we got tons of these beetle bugs flying. She could be in this room right now.
Right. Oh yeah.
All I mean, she would listen to us. Crazy, but yeah, she's there. I think, and I think she's listening and trying to get some dirt.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, yeah, but as that class sort of is unfolding, the Care of Magical Creatures class, we do get a little bit of a break from the Scroots.
Yay.
So no more direct contact. We're just actually cutting up and preparing food, which is good.
Yeah.
So which is nice. Hagrid is kind enough to drop the subject about the Yule Ball when Harry does admit that he doesn't have a partner for the dance. So at least
give him that. Yeah,
give him that. He's got some tact, and he is himself sort of like, well, I don't have a, you know.
True. Do you think he's asked?
Professors are supposed to take somebody, but right? I haven't asked either, right?
Oh yeah.
And so he's a little like Dumbledore probably said, okay, look, we're making students do this. We're all going to escort one another there, pick a partner just for fun, form a little dance, and we'll do it. Cool beans.
Yeah.
So, could you imagine if teacher, I'm just thinking today, if I had to go in with my colleagues and I had to pick someone to go to a dance to, that would be ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just kind of fun. Because they do that. I mean, the professors step out in the in the movie anyways, and they sort of,
at least,
you know,
dance. Yeah.
Dance. And it's like, it's nice to see, you know, McGonagall and Dumbledore. It's a very etiquette thing to do, right? It's a very nice and classy thing to just go out there.
Yeah, they have a friendship, and, like a genuine friendship.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about, like, it would be more of that. Like,
would you take
the teachers? I was thinking Renee. My colleague Renee, I'd probably take her.
Yeah.
She's about 20, 30 years older than me, and she's wonderful. She's a lot of fun. She's funny.
Yeah.
She's super funny.
I think you would have a good time.
I'd be laughing like crazy out there, you know? So. She's good people. So yes, but he does drop that, and it's, again, the whole chapter is worrying about whether or not we're gonna find a date for the Yule Ball.
It's true life.
Great. That was a
problems
great
of life.
That was a great yawn. That was a great. Do that again. It was like the.
Like the.
It's exactly like the Bobaton girls.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway. Okay.
Practice
so.
Long and hard for this.
Yeah, tell me.
What rumors are flying around about the ball? Tell me.
There's a lot of things. So we've got barrels.
It's like the last week of school, and there's rumors everywhere what's going to happen at the ball.
Right. Well, there's a big rumor that, you know, Dumbledore might be asking a certain someone to bring in 800 barrels of, this, you said mold, mead?
That's probably, I've spelled it wrong. Something
mold.
Mead.
Mold, sorry. What? It's moldy.
Mold.
It's
I could,
it's
I have
moldy.
To type fast
I know,
in the
I'm sorry,
car.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
My scribe, it's mold mead. Whoa.
I mean, that's a magic thing, like a wizarding thing.
I think it's like you can't do that. I think mead and honey and stuff, it's one of those, it doesn't go bad. So
no, true.
Right. It's
we'll have to ask Travis if that would be possible. But my theory is that rumor was actually true, but that this the 800 barrels of mead would only be accessible for staff.
Oh, for staff?
Yeah.
Possibly. And also some of it was, didn't they? Oh, that was whiskey they were drinking, right? That was the horses.
Oh, yeah, single malt whiskey for the horses.
There's a lot of alcohol at Hogwarts. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know, guys.
It reminds me of Angelina. Is anyone, like, concerned that these kids are drinking beer or what?
Yeah, is anyone worried about this? I mean...
I had to laugh so hard when I put the compilation together last episode and I heard her say that again.
Yeah, yeah. I think of those kids over in Germany, you're always just sort of like, yeah, the drinking ages are different around
it's
the world.
Terribly
They're
low,
different.
Yeah.
But... Over here in America, we got high standards, all
right? Right.
All right, so
no
look,
one's ever drinking.
Not until you're 21, all right? Ain't no way. We ain't going to let these kids out here into the liquor, all right? We ain't doing it. Ain't no way.
But there is. It's harder to get your hands on drinks, like on liquor.
Do you know, at one point in this country, we had a prohibition. We banned it. Yep. We were like, listen, it is so bad. And quite honestly, we are learning more and more with our research. Sorry, friends out there, to my adult friends who are able, you youngsters that are listening, you all know you're not allowed to have any of this. This is an adult beverage. But those that can consume it, we're learning more and more it ain't that good for you. All right. And you need to maybe not consume as much as you are. Now that's my lecture for the day, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you to steer clear. All right.
Yeah. Once in a great while.
Once in a great while is fine. All right.
Have a good time at the Yule Ball.
Right. Right. Yeah. Make it an occasion. All right. Mm. So there's also another rumor flying around, though, that they booked the Weird Sisters.
And they actually did. It's pretty confirmed, even the week before the holidays.
And Harry's kind of like, who's that?
Yeah, right? I know. Like, it's so crazy because all his friends grew up. This reminds me of a friend I had in high school. She didn't have a TV. Her parents thought it was a good idea. Let's not have a TV in the whole household.
Wow.
Back then, if you're younger and you're like, what's the big deal? You just turn on your computer and
watch your phone.
Netflix?
Watch your phone, yeah.
No, back then, that was not a thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, YouTube, so I think when we were a little older, then YouTube came around and she could watch some things on YouTube, but no streaming services. When we were younger, definitely no computer, internet, like TV. And she actually grew up without a TV. They had a huge library in their living room. I thought it was cool. Yeah. I loved going there. But yeah, Harry, just like her, never had, I think, the wireless network, Wizarding Wireless Network, mm-hmm. WWN, mm-hmm. is a radio station?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And it sounds like this is what also is always on in the kitchen at the Weasley's house and all Harry's friends
listen to it.
With it. But Hermione doesn't know who the Weird Sisters are, probably.
No, probably not. Right. But that's the rumor, that they're going to be there, and so everyone's pumped about it, and Harry is interested to go find out and learn more about that, right? Yeah. Now, the teachers are also excited. They're ready to go. Some teachers are kind of like, look, they feel the buzz. They see the kids are misbehaving. They're more excitable. Lots going down. And Flitwick's like, look, let's just shut her down.
Shout out to my Ravenclaw house.
Let's just shut her down.
Head of house.
People who didn't think he was cool and chill.
I think everyone thinks he's cool.
Okay. I mean, if there was anybody who thought that, you guys, listen.
Duh.
I mean, he is just sort of like, let's play some games.
Yeah.
Harry, I'm going to call you over. I can just see him. Almost like he's just happy. Maybe he's getting ready for the, he's in the same spirit that they are. And he's like, let's just call it. Take those charms you've learned. Play a few fun games with each other. Harry, come up to my desk. Let's talk about that excellent, summoning charm that you did during, that was all me, right? I mean, I taught you that, right? You know that.
It's because I gave you the extra homework.
Yeah. He's so proud.
Yeah.
He's
so proud. I love Professor Flitwick.
The other teachers, though, no way. They are still, they're hammering home. They're really tasking the kids with quite a bit of work. And Snape is as well, right? So
Snape would rather, no, would, what was the saying? He would
something.
It's just as likely of Snape letting them play games.
Right.
In the last week of before the holidays than.
Yeah.
Adopting Harry.
Yeah.
That's his comparison here.
Right. Right. And then it made me think sort of like, what if he did?
What
if all of a sudden
adopted Harry?
Yeah.
What if Snape and Lily actually got along as friends and he was also made a godfather?
Crazy.
And then he would be Harry's godfather. But I think to make that happen, he would have had to be a totally different person.
For sure.
Just lean into a totally different side of himself. So,
yeah, it's
but
sort
that'd
of,
be crazy.
I guess like at the end of that Wizarding War, I mean, if more people were sort of gone, let's say Petunia was attacked and they thought she had information on Lily. And so they attacked Petunia and she's unable to take Harry in, right? Maybe Voldemort tries to get to her first and then Wormtail is like, look, I actually know where he's at. Mm. And so there is no aunt to go to.
Right.
There is no Sirius Black to go to. Where does he go? Does he go to an orphanage? What is Dumbledore going to do then? What's his backup plan? Would it be Snape? Probably. Maybe
people
not.
People also say, what if McGonagall took him in?
Oh, I would have loved that.
I know, right?
If McGonagall...
She never had kids. So.
He would be... Because Harry's not always my favorite character, you know, in the series.
Yeah.
Love Harry Potter, but he's just not. But I think if he were... adopted by McGonagall, raised by her. Oh my gosh. Represent, I would have been stoked about that. But
it would have been cool. Yeah.
Okay, let's finish up with some drama though. We do have some drama and some success here. Our task, our unexpected task this whole time our task has been to find a date for the Yule Ball. And we finally do get that. But there's a bit of a problem, right?
What's the problem?
Yeah, Hermione, let's see, they're looking over different... Oh, by the way, the bazaar is the... Harry missed that. That was the thing that he missed in the potions.
Crazy.
He totally... Yeah.
That's what he then remembers later to save Ron.
Right.
And you know what's interesting? Just if you forgot, bazaar is stone-like mass taken from the stomach of a goat.
Right.
That is an antidote to most poisons, which... Basilisk venom is one exception, but most poisons can be healed or neutralized by taking in a bezoar. And this was the reason why they were used in preparation of the antidote to common poisons, which is probably what they're doing in this test or last lesson of the school year, semester, whatever it is. But then it's so strange that Slughorn later says that bezoars are rather rare, and that's the reason why he thinks it's still worth knowing how to mix antidotes. And that was kind of like a confusing thing to me, because if most antidotes also contain part of a bezoar, then, and it's rare, like maybe he's saying, okay, you can't always swallow a full one, it's good to know how to mix it with just a small powdered bezoar or something, I don't know.
Yeah, or they have different, you take one and you can chop it up into different pieces or crunch it up into different pieces and then
you have way
many more
use for it.
Antidotes or something.
But it's just interesting that they mentioned that here in nice little
It's interesting. Okay, so into the drama, we're figuring out who's going with who. George, we'll get to George in a second, but Fred first sort of he's like, "Hey, you guys got dates or what? You guys going to the ball?" Uh-huh. And they don't have anybody. He's like, Ron's like, "Who are you going with?" And he's like, "Angelina." And essentially, he hadn't even asked her yet, right?
Right.
And he's like, "Well, have you asked her yet?" And then he just turns and shouts across the room, and I love the way that it describes how she looks him up one side and down the other, sort of like, "Yeah, I'll go." Yeah, I'll go.
But
and then she turns back and she's sort of like,
Right, that was easy. I think she was kind of secretly hoping a little bit Fred would ask her.
Right. You know what's interesting is that she and George end up married.
Yes.
She and George.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well.
I mean,
it makes me a little sad. Did she actually like Fred more?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think because you asked the question.
Or maybe she hoped that George would have asked her, and then she's like, "Okay, Fred's good enough for now."
Yeah, maybe it could have been that.
I would be close to George the whole time.
Right, they're friends and stuff.
Could be.
But still, there's that, like, you know, she's close with the twins, played with them for years, and all that kind of stuff. So, you did ask the question: who is George Weasley going with, though?
Yeah.
If Angelina's going with Fred.
Yeah. Do you think he went with Alicia?
Maybe.
Or Katie Bell? Like one of the other
girl players? I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we're told. We'll have to find out when we get into other chapters. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, hence the reread, friends. But anyways, moving on to the worst part of this chapter, which is Ron being disgusting in his comments about Eloise Midgen, which were just bad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Basically saying, you know, like somebody was talking about like her acting's not that bad, and he was talking about like her nose and the way her face is blah blah, and it's like, Ron, dude, you are I really wish someone else from like Slytherin, like I wish Pansy Parkinson could have been there just to blast Ron, be like, you know, like who would go with you?
Yeah.
Because look at your eye. Like just I know it's mean, but just to call him out real quick and say, how'd that feel?
Yeah, how did that feel?
Feel? Ridiculous.
I mean, Hermione is really, really annoyed for two things. One, she
expects better from him. That's
right. Expects better from him. Kind of was probably hoping at the beginning, before she was asked by Crumb, maybe Ron or Harry would ask her, and they didn't. And then, as a friend, like being friends with someone who's so belittling to some of the girls around her.
Yeah.
Makes her really sad as a girl herself, right? Like, what if he talks about me that way? What if did he ever mention my teeth?
Right.
Like, I think she's thinking these things.
For sure she is. You know, it's also disappointing both Harry and Ron did not think to ask Hermione.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. Like, why didn't Harry... I mean, that's the thing. Harry's desperate for a dance partner because he can't show up without one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
While Ron... still would be great to have one, but he doesn't need one.
Right. I think after the article, Harry's probably sort of like, okay, I need to like, I don't want to, you know, confirm any of those rumors about me and Hermione, because that's not
maybe.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he just sort of thinks that's sort of an unspoken thing between them.
Yeah.
But still, neither one of them even considers or suggests or, you know, ask her for advice or help. Nothing. So
do you think, had they known Luna already, do you think Harry would have asked Luna?
Possibly. Maybe. Yeah. And I think, again, both of them, not as a first resort. That's unfortunate, but I think that's just how they are. I think that right now they're just there.
Because I mean, I guess it's okay to look into, you know, asking who do you genuinely like in terms of romance. That's okay to say, okay, I would like to ask this person first, and then I'll see. Okay, if she's already taken, who are some friends I would go with as friends?
Yeah.
Like she did. I don't know if it's in the book, but he and Luna go to the Slughorn party, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah, Ron's the one who really comes out with sort of the, he's trying to ask the most attractive person.
Right. He straight up says it. Hermione asks him, so you don't care if she would be mean or just not nice person to talk to?
Right.
But she just looked very pretty. Would you go with her? So yeah, absolutely. Sounds about right. Sounds
ridiculous, Ron. He's ridiculous.
Oh my goodness.
He's bad. So
anyway.
Anyway, to wrap this up though, we have, you know, Harry running down and meeting, trying to find an opportunity to ask Cho. And it basically both says, okay, next day we're going out. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Friday
what.
Before got the holidays.
To. We got to do it.
Tonight we meet and have dates.
Have to. So Ron goes out and, you know, the Vila charm hits him straight in the face. Yeah. He does track down Fleur and blurts out, you know, ask her. And she just looks at him like he's a sea
slug.
Sea slug. Like a,
Did Fleur ever tell Bill that Ron did that later on?
Don't know, but that'd be funny. Be kind of funny. It makes sense though. Like it's like an older crush on, you know, I don't know. You know, when you're younger like that. Yeah, but still, it's kind of silly. He fell prey to the Vila charm, and that actually affects the whole Weasley family later on too, because they think that Fleur is only into you know, like that she's vain and that maybe she's not once Bill. Became interesting with the werewolf scar that now she's interested. So we'll cover that later. But anyways, So Ron comes back. He's in all sorts of disarray and Jenny's got to break it down. And, you know, they actually start kind of laughing at Neville, when they both come back. Because Harry's story is Cho turned him down. She turned him down for Cedric, as we know, right? But they're both really just laughing at Neville because, you know, he asked Hermione, you know, and then Hermione, good move, Hermione. You got out of that one by saying you had somebody else, right?
You already have someone, yeah.
Yeah, good on her. She's smart. She's the cleverest witch of our year.
Mm-hmm.
She got out of that one.
And hey, she's a girl.
But then Jenny basically turns it around, starts kind of, you know, laughing at them and really just calls out Ron.
Yeah.
And calls them both out. They both don't have dates. Mm-hmm. And then it's when Hermione sort of appears and starts, you know, chatting with them about it. And we get into a fight because of their behavior, and then also the fact that they think that Hermione, now she's a girl,
right?
Hermione's a girl. Hey, Hermione, you want to go with us? Like, possibly one of us. You should go with one of us. We need you,
right?
And she's like, you guys are one, disgusting.
Yeah.
Two, you've just made fools out of yourselves, and three, I'm taken. And then they don't believe her. They don't believe her.
And that is kind of frustrating.
It's a low moment for Ron.
Yeah,
it really is. It's kind of a low moment. He's got to be knocked down a few notches here.
And he was,
yeah. And now he's sort of super put out that he has to go with Padma, right?
But
I think it's cool. I don't know why he wouldn't be
have a good time,
like two pretty popular girls, that are actually really well liked in both houses.
And they were
so
still,
I don't,
yeah.
Yeah, I know Padma's a bit more reserved or whatever, but
just take the chance and learn something about that person and have a good time and.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, that's terrible how they look in the movie. I mean, the look on Ron's face in the movie, like, when Padma asks, are you going to ask me to dance? No. Disgusting. Mm. Why would I?
You think he would have if he wouldn't have been scolded by Hermione and Victor Krum?
Yeah, I think he was pretty down because of that. Obviously, he saw them.
Right. I think he might have tried it.
Maybe. But yeah, it's like, for Harry, it was like the time had come. Or drastic action to ask Parvati, because they're always alone, annoyed with them in divination class,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think they really know each other that well, besides just hanging out in the common room together. So,
I like how the movie does the whole thing where they're like, "Hi, Harry."
Oh, yeah. Hi, Harry.
And they use this sort of subtle, almost like they, it was like they were enchanting him.
Oh, you know what I mean? Like an ancient magic.
An ancient magic. Like, we're here.
That's funny.
Harry, yeah. Harry, hey, Harry, we're here. And yeah. So, yeah, and kind of fine.
Yes, Padma is not a Gryffindor, but I guess it's okay. They're minor characters, so in the movie they just changed that for that scene. So, whatever.
Right. Hopefully they keep it the same in the TV show. They keep it not the same. Hopefully they keep them in different houses. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, because shout out to another cool Ravenclaw.
Right.
I think Padma's probably pretty cool. She might be totally different than her sister because they're twin sisters and she's still in a different house. So I feel like they have maybe different personalities and she's into different things.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, friends, all right, that was the unexpected task, getting our dates all squared away. I will get that behind-the-scenes footage of the dance routine from Fleur, and I'll get that to you guys ASAP. I'm just kidding. I probably won't. She's gonna boycott dancing in the kitchen, okay? Jaminy. Anyway.
Yeah, secret cameras everywhere.
Yeah, right. But we do have a big, big football game coming up, so I got to roll off here. Got to get my taco salad going.
Yeah.
What do you guys eat on a Saturday, Sunday? I mean, I'm all about food. I'm sitting here.
People are probably disappointed that for this episode, we didn't bring dates.
Oh, my gosh. Why didn't we eat dates?
What?
On the episode where they're getting dates to the Yule Ball.
I don't know.
Shame on us.
Shame us.
Shame us. Shame on us.
Well, okay, let's stop.
All right. Hey, appreciate you guys so much. Kind of a short episode this week, but we'll be back. We'll be back with the next chapter is, well, you'll find out here in a second. So, all right. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you're going to join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons. If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below in the description. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to Luna and back. And on our next reread episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 23. The Yule Ball. So make sure you tune back in next time, and until then, have a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.